Welcome to our village board meeting. It's Monday, March 9th at 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Cascatello?
Present.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell? Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez? Trustee Brennan?
Here.
President Aducey?
Here. If I can ask you all to stand, thank you.
We'll say the Pledge of Allegiance. Thanks. I pledge allegiance to the Republic of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. 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 Thanks, Luke. Okay. All right. Why don't we start with Annadel? Am I saying it correctly? Annadel and Ronald. You're with America Cares, too, which I'm excited to hear about. So welcome to our village board meeting. If you'd like to say public comment, I'd ask you to get to the podium and talk. You know what I'm going to do is I want to make sure that podium is moved forward. Look at that. Super. Please join us. Yeah, we'd love to hear about you.
Here we go.
Okay. Oh, and Homer too. Sorry. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. My name is Homer Bizzle, founder and president of America Cares 2 veteran nonprofit organization. And we just wanted to show our faces and welcome you. Welcome.
Okay.
Yay. So, yeah. just an overview about our mission. We are dedicated to serve veterans and their families. And also, we educate youth on scholarships, helping them find resources to help them apply for college and connect them with other community partners. So again, I'm just here to, you know, so y'all can see my friendly face and get to know everyone in the community. Hopefully you come by. We located at 7627 Lake Street in River Forest, Suite 210. And if you have any questions, I will be here to answer.
Very great. Well, welcome to River Forest. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And it's a great cause. I think we to my knowledge, I don't know if we have many charities here in River Forest that specifically care for veterans services, so unless I'm wrong, but I think that's a unique service for us here. So you're welcome. I mean, this is something we're excited to have you here.
Yes, and thank you, because we deal with veteran claims, benefits, family, surviving spouses. So, and the veteran I helped, he lived in River Forest. He was actually advocating for me to come here.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so.
Oh, good.
But
hopefully it was easy to get here and
Yeah, but you know, we had a lot of support from other community partners.
Okay, great. Super.
I'll be sitting down if y'all need.
All right, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else want to speak or tell us a little bit more about your services? Yeah, you don't have to. No worries. It's all good. But we're happy to have you here. Maybe Ronald? Yeah, you do, because you know we're on YouTube and people
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Maybe watching or listening later.
I'm used to the old Army way. my name's Ronald Villa Gomez. I'm 27-year retired veteran. I work with the America Cares 2 as a volunteer, reaching out to veterans. And like Mr. Bizzle said, we're trying to help their families as well and extending a helping hand out to help them up in society and making an integral part of the community.
Yeah.
my responsibilities are to reach out and commute with my teams to see that everything functions in a proper fashion. And we listen, we adhere to all protocol and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And if you want a card, I have a card of myself.
Sure.
Feel free to call me. And if I should not answer, that's because I'm probably tied up.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm really out there and beaten to my feet on the streets. So Other than that, I kind of like River Forest and Oak Forest, all this community around here. It's got a lot of jazz.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So will you be participating in our Memorial Day parade? Come, yep, soon. Okay.
Yes,
well, we'd
yes.
love to have you. It's
sure.
Memorial Day parade. It's
sure.
all about veterans and all
Absolutely.
Their service to us. So, okay, great. Well, we'll get you some in. Jessica Spencer is our deputy administrator, and she'll get you everything. Yeah, sure. Everything you need. Oh, boy.
I'm a disabled veteran, so.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we'll make sure you are part of the parade. It's quite fun. It's a lot of people come out. It's a lot of fun. And we have a ceremony at the end of the parade, commemorating all of our veterans in River Forest and those that serve. So it's great. So glad you're here.
I'd just like to say thanks for coming to our meeting. It's not typical that a new business that opens in River Forest comes and introduces themselves to us. So thanks for taking the time to, you know, find out when our meeting was and where it was and for coming, because we don't always know the new businesses that open up. So it'd be nice if we did. And I'm glad that you're here. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. All right. We're going to move on with the rest of our comments. So you're more than happy to stay, or you can go and have the rest of your evening if you'd like. Okay. All right. All right. The next up is Patty, Organic Development.
Regarding the Madison development. Thank you for your service. I do want to start with that. Patty Hennick, 700 Bonnie Bray. I have some written remarks just so I don't go too long. But I wanted to share that I attended the Madison Development Thaber meeting last Thursday. There, the developer, Victor, shared that he is the owner of Cigar Oasis, formerly of River Forest. This information only increased my concern about the proposed Madison Development, and here's why. Cigar Oasis was the last business to leave Lake and Lathrop property, and only did so after a court-ordered eviction on July 27, 2019. Our village administrator was required to appear in circuit court to testify that the owner was not entitled to an extended lease. The Wednesday Journal reported on another project extension in October of 2019. President Adusi blamed Cigar Oasis for delaying progress at Lake and Lathrop for several months. Quote, "It took a little while to get the tenants out," Village President Kathy Adusi said in explaining the request for an extension, while noting that the owners of Cigar Oasis fought eviction efforts. I then remembered that in 2018, strongly against resident sentiment, Cigar Oasis attempted to relocate to 400 Ashland with an outdoor smoking lounge directly across from a fully occupied condominium with balconies. In 2020, during the height of the pandemic, Cigar Oasis was cited for COVID violations, as reported in at least two Wednesday Journal articles. Fast forward to 2026. Residents strongly object to the proposed Madison development on many levels, including for height, density, and a neighborhood fit. We're to believe that the village board chose a developer out of all the interested parties who just so happens to have a connection to the failed Lake and Lathrop development, and not a positive one. Why would the village board choose a developer who was willing to work against village interests on a different village development and who flouted laws during a national pandemic? Why weren't all the trustees made aware of this connection? Why wasn't information about the connection between Cigar Oasis and 531 Partners publicly shared when the developer was announced? I question whether residents can be assured that a business owner who is at odds with the village attempts to locate a non-conforming business within a residential neighborhood and ignore rules during a global pandemic will appropriately address resident concerns related to this development. River Forest has limited land to develop. Why weren't residents invited to review other proposals? How was this developer vetted more broadly? After the failed development at Lake and Lathrop, How can we risk using another developer with this local track record? Taxpayers deserve concrete answers, not empty assurances. And as an aside, I just want to close with, I personally feel that the $60,000 to hire a PR firm for this development was a shameful waste of tax dollars, especially when that's on top of the fact that there is already a PR firm on retainer for the village. It seems to have to hire a PR firm to push or spin the narrative around this development before it even goes through what's supposed to be the objective DRB process is wrong. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? Could you tell me the terms and conditions of the negotiations between the developer and Scar Oasis when they were asked to leave the premises? Could you share that with us? What were the terms of the Excuse me. You're making allegations and you don't have all the facts. I just asked you a question. You said you don't know. So please tell me.
Okay.
Tell me.
All right,
if,
Bob.
Please tell me if they.
Hey, Bob. Bob. Yes. Bob. Yeah. Let's. Yeah, it's Bob. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. It's. Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely talk through it if we all want to, but I want to get to the rest of the citizens' comments. So, Ed.
Thank you for your service. This is also regarding the development. My name is Ed Pogue. I live at 12 Lathrop, and I appreciate everyone giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. I want to start by making something very clear to everyone sitting here tonight. I am not against development. I support smart, reasonable projects that improve our community, but this proposal is not that. This building is far too large for the space, and it will make existing problems that this village has already failed to address for years, significantly worse. For over 4 years, I have been emailing the village about ongoing parking issues on Lathrop and Madison. I've repeatedly sent time-stamped photos and copied Matt Walsh on several of these messages, and for 4 years, nothing was done, not a single meaningful action. Then suddenly, a couple of weeks ago, right after I reached out again, a massive electronic trailer sign appeared directly in front of my house, flashing 2-hour parking. Violators will be cited. Let's be honest, this is not a solution. This is a band-aid strictly for optics. The village didn't care about these issues until they needed me to stop raising concerns about an oversized building being proposed right behind my house. And frankly, I'm not sure what's worse, a giant flashing trailer sign parked in front of my house or cars parked there all day, every day. But neither addresses the actual problem, and both will only get worse if a 5-story building with 72 units and retail is jammed into a space with grossly inadequate parking. I also need to address the behavior of the current developer and their surveyors, because it speaks volumes about the kind of project that is going to be. Recently, surveyors working for the developer showed up at my house with no notice whatsoever and asked to enter my backyard to take measurements. When I told them no, they became visibly irritated. This is completely unprofessional and deeply disrespectful. If this is how the developer treats neighbors before the project is even approved, what can we expect during construction? What can we expect once a 5-story building is towering over our backyards? A respectful, responsible developer informs residents, follows protocols, and builds trust, not pressure, supervised visits, unsupervised visits, or boundaries pushing behavior. This incident told me everything I need to know about how this team will operate going forward. But back to the core issue. If the village has not been able to manage the current parking, traffic, and safety issues for the past 4 years, despite constant documentation and communication, how can anyone reasonably expect them to handle the increased pressure this oversized building will create? The truth is simple. If you can't solve the problem we already have, you can't approve something guaranteed to make this dramatically worse. The project is too big, the infrastructure cannot support it, residents have been ignored, brushed aside, or given last-minute notices and cosmetic fixes meant only to quiet opposition, and the developer's own behavior raises serious questions about how this project will be managed. I urge this board to listen to the people who live here every day, respect the scale of our neighborhood, and reject this proposal. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Debbie?
Can I just ask a question, a follow-up question about Mr. Pogue's having the surveyor show up without any notice? Was that on, did the village arrange that, or was that arranged by the developer?
No, the village did not arrange that. It is part of the application process, so it's a step that needs to be done for the development review board application, but we did not coordinate with the surveyor prior to Mr. Pogue making us aware of their arrival last week.
So how does that usually work? Like an applicant for the DRB application has to hire a surveyor, mm-hmm. and it's going to be on private land. How does that usually work? Does the village recommend on the form that they give notice to the private landowner?
No.
Mm-mm. They just knock on the private landowner's door.
On the subject property. And then there's usually very little to any impact on the neighbors. Most people don't notice that it's happening. In this case, the survey was taking place on the two parcels that were closest to the home, the existing homes there. And that's how it became noticed.
So is it unusual that for this application process, there would need to be access to a private property?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe we could put something on that form about advance notice. I mean, it's unusual, I guess, but yeah. Now that we've heard about it, it would upset me too. Mm-hmm. If that would happen on my land, yeah. I would want to have advance notice, and I don't know if it should come from the village or from the applicant. I haven't thought it through, but it doesn't make sense to me what happened.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think Jessica's been working now with the developer to ensure that the communication is better. But go ahead, no. Debbie.
Okay, I'd also like to thank you for your service. My dad was in the Navy in World War II, and I appreciate you. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, we used to play a game where we'd sit in a circle at birthday parties and play telephone. One person whispers a word to the person next to them, and then by the time it gets all the way around the circle, the word has changed completely. That was a little like my experience at the neighbor meeting open house style event last Thursday night. People were talking at the same time. Different residents were asking questions and getting different answers. Some conversations were on topic, others were not. There was no single conversation that everyone in the room could hear, and no shared record of what was actually asked or answered. To be fair, some information did come out of this event, as well as the prior three identical open houses. For example, during the second open house, residents inadvertently learned that the developer was associated with a different name and website. Looking at that site led me to learn that he built the Madison West building in Forest Park. Only after we figured this out and disclosed it in letters to the editor of the Wednesday Journal did the developer admit that he built Madison West, and he did that here at the board meeting where he presented his proposal. As an aside, during the Madison West construction in 2019, there was a union protest. A giant inflatable rat erected at the site, and the Forest Park Review noted that the company, under its prior name, had a history of safety violations. Living where I do, at the southeast corner of this village, I'm very familiar with that rat who took up residence on the northwest corner of Madison and Ashland on and off for many months in 2023 during the demolition of the buildings on that site. In adhering to the River Forest Development Code, the developer's application is to be accompanied by a summary of the neighbor meeting, including residents' questions and the answers provided by the developer. Given this open house style event format, where multiple conversations were happening at once and information was being shared unevenly, leading to uneven answers, how exactly will that summary be created? What method ensures that the official report or application will accurately reflect what residents actually asked and what responses were given, rather than a selective reconstruction of scattered conversations? Without some objective way of documenting those exchanges, it's difficult to see how any summary could reliably reflect what residents actually asked and what answers were provided. Thank you.
Last one is Greg.
Greg Apkarian, I live at 1226 William. Once again, as everybody said, thank you all for your service. It means a lot to us. I'm against the developments. It's about the development. I went to the meeting that they just had over there at the community center, whatever you want to call it these days. And I came out just scratching my head, trying to figure out how you guys picked Victor and his company. He just seems to blow off everything that any citizen says to him. I brought up my concern. I've lived in buildings before I had my house here that blocked the street view. And I'm not worried about how tall the building is at the moment. I'm just saying that it would block the street view. And since it's going to be a rental and not a condominium, I asked the gentleman, how about security? Because I know for past history, and I also know the surrounding areas of River Forest very well, that during the daytime, the people will have to leave their parking spots and go to work. And when they do that, people that do things that are illegal, prostitution, drugs, want to do things, go behind buildings for 25, 30 minutes. And you may say, well, that's not in our neighborhood, but that's what everybody says. And it's in every neighborhood across America. So I just asked them politely, what are you going to do for security? Because if people are renting, you should be in charge of security of your building. If it's a condominium, then it's a little different. But when it is a rental, you are in charge of your building. You're in charge of maintenance. You're in charge of all of that. So I asked him about security. And his answer with a sarcastic smile was, my maintenance man will take care of it. Now, I don't really think the police officers here would say that the maintenance man of any building is going to be a good security officer by himself when he's just a maintenance man. That was very disturbing to me when I asked them those questions. When I asked them about traffic, I know the traffic study hasn't been done. I got to the meeting 15 minutes early because I got into River Forest faster than I thought I would, and I just didn't feel like going home and then coming back. So I sat by Gunzo's, which is about a block away from where they're going to be. And I counted in the 10 minutes I sat there, going eastbound, 107 cars, and going westbound, 98 cars. And that was in 10 minutes. That was around 5:50 because the meeting was at 6. And you're going to plan to put a building there with 72 units and for some reason only 83 parking spots or something like that. But you're going to think that's not going to add to the traffic. It will. Since it's in the TIF district, I'm not going to get into numbers. Kelly did it with the school board when they were getting the school board stuff done. But you're going to have more kids there than the developer thinks there is. Okay. And then I said, well, lower income families, I know themselves cannot probably move into that building because they're charging so much for rent. But what if two or three families get together and do it? He said, well, we can't have multifamily things. I said, well, they're not going to apply that way. Then he said, well, we'll pay the maintenance man. Everything is the maintenance man's going to do everything for them. $200 to kick people out. That was his quote to me. And I was like, really? And he just was laughed everything off like, oh, okay. And then somebody brought up something that I hadn't thought of. There's going to be retail there, right? Retail is pretty much a dead market. But what if those retail stores become really good and you have a lot of cars? There's nowhere to park. And that poor gentleman on Lathrop is going to have a lot of parking, more in front of his house. The people on Ashland will have parking. There is going to be nowhere to park for them. And then when people come home from work, guess what? There's going to be people in their parking spots. And there's not enough parking spots already for these people. None of this has been thought out. None of this. And everybody I have spoken with in the city, I would say it's about an 80 to 20 against it. The only people I can find that are for it are four people on this board and a few other people on some other boards. That's it. Nobody else really wants this. You're voted here to listen to your constituents. That is us. You don't ever listen to us. Didn't listen to us about Lake Street. You don't listen to us about this. You never do. Like when you guys put parking, or not parking, you blocked off Clinton and Bonnie Bray for no reason, because it was no reason, because you undid it after spending all that money and getting that study and that thing for somebody. You can type in numbers and see what the traffic really was. You guys need to. And then when people ask, what were the other bids and filled out FOIA, you denied that. There is something that you guys really want there, and nobody understands why. So please tell us, because this makes no sense for anybody. Nobody. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Just out of time. All right. That concludes. I know somebody else walked in late. I don't know if we want to speak or not. Okay. I just want to give everyone an opportunity to do things. So this is ends the citizens' comments. So we'll move on to elected official comments and announcements. So I will start with, since I think Bob, I started with you last, maybe?
Okay, one more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, if you'd like to. Yeah, please. I mean, I don't want to deny anybody.
I also attended the open house Madison Avenue briefing on Thursday night. And looking at the diagrams, I definitely had issues. For one thing, I think the alley in the rear is just too narrow for a garbage truck maneuverability. And also the 72 units, and they're all rental units. People are going to be moving in and out, unlike a condo, on a regular, almost weekly basis. And there are only two elevators, and they aren't large elevators, and neither of them is a freight elevator. And I know from the building in which I live in now, if you have people moving in and out, moving in heavy furniture, pianos, things like this, you're going to wear out a regular elevator very quickly. I just don't have anything more to say, but I, well, okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. All right, so Bob.
Just real quick, thanks to Jack and the Public Works Department and Chief and his team for their participation on Saturday in the parade and make sure the residents were taken care of on the River Forest side of the parade. It was a huge success. And again, it's, you know, working on Saturdays isn't fun, but they all did it and they did it, you know, admirably. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
I want to say that I hear your concerns to the people who have concerns about the development. I did not like finding out this information this way this week. I'm the newest board member, so other people have a lot more information than I do, a lot of expertise that I don't have. I really wish we had had an opportunity to discuss these things before. I brought it up to Jessica, and we've had a conversation about it. Hopefully what we can do is have that open discussion at the board table soon. I hope the other trustees are in agreement with that. Because I do find it concerning that we're seeing Lake and Lathrop pop up in this project when I know that that is a top concern for our residents, is making sure that we don't do that again. So I just wanted to let you know I hear you. And then thank you so much for your service. I have lots of veteran family members, and I really appreciate having a veteran organization in our community. I have kids at Lincoln Elementary, and every year we have a Veterans Day Assembly where we invite veterans to come and speak. So I'm sure I will get back in touch to make sure that we get you there. And speaking of Lincoln Elementary, we had the Lincoln Elementary fundraiser this weekend, and I would like to thank police and fire departments. The Lincoln and Willard fundraisers PTO organizations both raffled off a ride to school with the police and fire departments, and together they raised more than $3,000. That goes towards teacher wish lists, family cares programs, making sure families who are in need receive things like yearbooks, spirit wear, fun lunch, and things like that. Goes towards field trips, including field trips to the firehouse and playground equipment. And so I just want to say thank you very much for your donations to that.
I didn't have anything to say until I got an email from a resident just before the meeting who raised some of the same concerns that were raised by some of the residents tonight about the proposed developer. And it made me wonder, did I miss something? Were we told about the Cigar Oasis connection? Because I certainly didn't remember seeing that. And I would have hoped that that would have been shared with us by the commercial real estate company that's doing all this work for us and that we're paying the big bucks to vet potential developers. So I guess I'm understanding that we're going to have more discussion about this. And I would like to ask, similar to Megan, I don't like hearing about this from a resident. I would prefer to hear about it from the entity that was supposed to have been doing the research and sharing information with us. And I'd like to hear that from them now. I'd like to have information from them as well, in addition to what the residents have come up with, so that we can have the discussion at the table and decide what we think is relevant and what we don't think is relevant as we make decisions here.
Okay, we'll go through them.
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Lisa?
Okay, I want to congratulate Trinity High School for coming in third place at the state girls basketball finals this past weekend. It is their first time to state since 2016, and they're all very excited. And a big thank you to the police, the fire, and public works for all coming together and escorting them from Trinity to Dominican, where they got to change after practice after their pep rally, and then took them to the Village Line so that they could begin their journey to Illinois State University, which is a Normal, right? Okay, sorry. I didn't go to college around here, so I don't know. I'm geographically challenged around here. But anyway, it was a great thing. Great community coming together. I much appreciate it. Secondly, LRS Electronics, you have to get in your request by this Thursday. And the pickup is the 16th through the 18th. And one thing that could, this is something we should probably ask LRS to maybe fix next go around, because my husband figured it out today, that if you don't have a TV, you have to say NA, or you'll get locked up, you'll get frustrated, and you'll not get your electronic request put into the system. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. And last but not least, it is time to vote. March 17th is, our election, and early voting is happening now. So I went and voted today in Maywood. It was easy. It was fast, and it's something that we should be doing as citizens. Thank you. And one more thing. Thank you for your service. I do have many of my kids are currently in the military, and when they come out, I'm glad to know that there's somebody, organization like you that might be able to help them.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Lisa.
You're good.
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I also didn't have any comments besides that until hearing public comments this evening and receiving an email exchange, I think, between the village staff and a resident around Cigar Oasis and the developer. I do think one of the things that I have stressed with development at Madison is that we have a good community partner. And so it does concern me that someone who held up a process for specifically Lake and Lathrop is now someone who we are talking about in developing Madison Streets and to not have any information about that at all when clearly the village was involved in that significantly while they were going through that process. I'm very confused by that. So it would be important to me for village staff and our agents that we are using to provide factual information about that. I do thank residents for bringing that up. I do think that residents shouldn't have to provide the answers to that. They can ask us the questions, and that's very fair. But I do want to have some more an open and public discourse around that.
Yeah.
And then to the union work, I think I saw something that said that the developer said when they can, they will use unions, and they verbally agreed to that. I think we need to do something stronger than that. I think we need to have it in writing. If we need to propose an ordinance and vote on an ordinance that requires union work, I think especially at Madison Development, we already had an issue with not using union work by the village for asbestos cleaning. And it became a big issue. We don't want to have to deal with that again at this development. So I would stress both of those things happen.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So let me just maybe address some of these. First of all, I'm a big union person. So I mean, we all not only make an ordinance, but it goes into the plan development contract that they must use unions. Many times, we have an ordinance already in place that says we pay prevailing wage, which is union wage. So, you know, sometimes when bids come in, though, just for information, we also have to take the lowest responsible party. And so sometimes that isn't possibly, you know, union. But I'm a union person, so I am in agreement 100% with that. So we definitely should figure out in our plan development contract when we get to that point that is in there. Now, let's get to the other piece that I think is a very important piece that, of course, is on top of mind of residents, and that is, you know, Cigar Oasis. I'm happy to, and I think we're all happy to bring Victor back in and have a conversation with him on that. I don't think that, I mean, I think he would probably want it, frankly, because we don't know, as Bob was trying to say, we don't know the business relationship between Marty Paris and Victor or Cigar Oasis. We don't know what the lease said. It might have said something that triggered Victor to stay the course and fight Marty. I mean, we know a lot of tenants were disappointed in Marty because of how they had to leave. We dealt with that. So I think I'm guessing Cigar Oasis, and I don't know this, so I think bringing him in and having that conversation directly with him is very important. There might have been some situation where they had a lease and then Marty wanted to break it. I don't know. But I think that's what Bob was trying to get to, is that we need to know more about their business relationship. Saying that, it was public in 2018, in November of 2018, and something that I actually addressed because it was, you know, holding up the process. And no different than what Wintrust is doing with us right now. But it happens. And so I wanted to be fair and open with everybody to let them know that this disagreement between Marty and Victor was going to cause a couple months delay. However, I couldn't explain, you know, what that agreement was between them. So so we did know in 2018 that was public information. And I think, Megan, to you, you know, of course you weren't here. So That's a piece that probably should have been more emphasized. But again, I think Victor should come in and answer these questions for all of you, and let him explain the relationship and why it was to a point where it had moved to an eviction. But the village did not, it wasn't part of that at all. I mean, we were only part of it by getting information regarding it. No, we were not part of it. I mean, we knew about it, but we weren't. I mean, Matt had to go in because he was asked to go in. I mean, Eric, because he was asked to go in, but we didn't initiate it, is this what I guess I'm saying. So that's it. So we'll do that. I think it's important. Okay. I don't have much other to report. So let's go on to the consent agenda. If I can get a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
I'd like to pull item 5I from the consent agenda.
All right, very good. Anybody else want to pull anything? Okay, then A through whatever, H and J through K.
No, anyone can vote to approve minutes. You do not have to have been here. But if you want to pull it in order to do that, I suppose you could. Yeah, no. You're perfectly eligible to vote on that. What you're basically doing is saying you have no reason to oppose what the clerk has presented.
Okay. So if I get a motion for this consent agenda, taking I out in a second.
Move to approve consent agenda items A through H, J and K. You hold I.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right.
That's right. Okay. All right. If I can ask the clerk to read out loud those items and then take the vote.
Item 5A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, February 23rd, 2026. B, February 2026 accounts payable. $1,845,837.96. C, administration department report. D, monthly department reports. E, right-of-way encroachment waiver, 1224 Franklin Avenue. F, award of contract, rooftop unit, RTU, number 2, Anchor Mechanical Incorporated, $168,162.63. G, purchase approval, bulk salt, State of Illinois Joint Purchasing Program, $63,570. H, award of contract, 2026 Village Hall Building Envelope Maintenance Project, Otto Baum Company, Inc., $35,000. J, ComEd Green Region Program Authorization, Hawthorne and Central Native Pollinator Restoration Project Resolution. K, purchase approval, light rescue vehicle, Bulldog Fire Apparatus, $278,996. Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay. If I get a motion and then a second on item I.
Award of contract, the motion to approve consent agenda item I. Okay.
Second.
So I pulled this item because I have a couple of questions about it, and my computer's now died, but fortunately I took some notes. So it's on page 121 of the packet. And my question is this. In the memo, or I have two questions. In the memo, it says that the company that's being recommended, National Power Rodding Corp, completed this project in 2024 and performed well. I think they must have completed a different project. And I'm wondering what the difference is between what it is that they're being recommended to do here, the sewer lining project, and what it is that they actually did in 2024.
Thank you for the question. So National Power Rodding Corp, they have performed work in the village previously for sewer lining being one thing, not in 2024. At that time, I'd have to look back at exactly what they did for there. It could have been a point repair for sewer, but they have performed a lot of work in town. They are a larger corporation. They're not like a smaller company. They're a larger firm. So there could have been just a point repair that they performed or something like that related to sewer.
Got it. Okay, thanks. And then my second question is that in the memo, you reference the larger project for which they bid $132K, I think. And then there's a possible second smaller project for $35K. And we don't know if that's going to be necessary until they get in there. Are you going to come back to us for the additional $35K if that's needed, or is because the authorization is for $140K?
Correct. So the way that we generally perform this, the point repair is there in emergency situations in case we get out there. And once we start going with the sewer lining or we see, you know, that a pipe has deteriorated to the point where you are no longer able to line it, you have to just full out excavate, replace it, do what you need to do. So that item is in there as an emergency situation. So we don't come, we are asking for Village Board approval to have that in our back pocket if necessary. What I can say is that generally that does not get needed because we do our televising cleaning beforehand. So we are oftentimes able to see what we need, but that is there in case we do run into a situation. So we are looking for approval. The total bid together with not only the lining, but also the point repair, they are the low bidder total. But that obviously, as you can see from the bid tab, they are slightly more for that particular item.
So should we be authorizing 167, 132 plus 35K, or you really do just want the 140K?
It's really just the 140K because so the way the sewer lining maintenance item works in our budget is we every year come to the board and ask for 140,000. That's our amount. We don't ask for more money. We don't ask for less money. The 140, we have the village divided up into four regions for televising and cleaning. During that process, during the televising, we make a list of all of the sewers that we have to line. To be conscientious of just budget, we do 140. If we go out to bid and we get very advantageous prices, we will do more. And so that's why we're asking to up to 140. But if we get bad prices, well, then we're only doing 140. And then next year when we put it back out to bid, we'll have to go catch up to where we were. So we just have, you know, 140 is our number, and we've continued with that. Throughout the budget process, as we see year over year, if consistently we're starting to get more expensive pricing based on just where labor is, well, then maybe at some point we will have to raise that number. But at this time, 140 is our number. That's what we're sticking with.
All right. That's really helpful. Thanks so much. I'm fine now.
Thank you.
All righty. So let's take a vote.
Item 5I, award of contract 2026 sewer lining, National Power Rodding Corp, $140,000. Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
All right. So we have no other further business, so I'd ask for an adjournment in a second.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
President Ducey?
Yes. Okay, thank you.